Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mini Crush Monday. I'm here in the basement once again, and this week we have a very special, so special surprise guest, Mr. Josh Clark.
Hello, Chuck.
Look at you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. So we should tell everyone that, you know, when we do stuff you should know, here during this quarantine remotely, we don't use video because I have notes and I got to concentrate too much. But yeah, for Movie Crush, we're just fucking around.
I can't believe you just said that. We're going to have to edit that out.
Are you going to cuss?
I don't know.
Because that was the first thing on my list.
I know I can, but should I?
That would be so like you to not.
It totally would, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would really piss me off.
Just flaunting convention. It would piss you off. Well, then, I don't know. We'll still see.
God, I knew that was going to happen. So we were just showing off each other's home studios because I haven't really seen your little situation there. It's much more professional looking than mine.
I love it. You know, they'll buy you panels like of any variety if you want.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You just talk to Jerry about it. She hooks it up. She's got a big old wad of cash that she pulls out and licks her thumb and says, "How much you need, baby?"
She's got panel cash
on
the hip.
Yeah, she does. But I'm telling you, these little, the audience can't see them, but there's these things called bass traps in the corner, and they just do wonders, magic stuff.
They seem to be trapping your bass. Man, Ruby is stomping upstairs and screaming. So
I can't hear her. What's she mad about?
Who knows? Probably just being locked in a fucking house for 7 weeks with her parents.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I thought like kids like that kind of thing.
She has to a point. but you know, it's everyone's going a little crazy at this point, I think.
You don't say.
Can I tell people what you look like?
Sure.
So Josh left, I guess you left your headphones, your over-the-ear headphones at work or something. And so in order to keep sound from bleeding, you're wearing earbuds. But now you have tied one of Yumi's scarves around your head.
Yeah.
Like your wisdom teeth have been pulled.
It's a really long scarf. It's wrapped around my giant head twice, longwise.
I think I can take Skype pictures. We should post one of these.
All right. I'll submit to that.
I don't know how to do that, though.
In exchange for not cursing. How about that?
Oh, man. And at the very end of the episode, you'll say, "Thanks for having me on. Fuck you."
Do you remember in Australia, I think it was Perth, maybe, where the audience was really trying to get you to say the C word because they...
Oh, good Lord.
That's a great one. My eyes are closed and I'm talking. I love that
Oh, you can see that?
Yeah. It warned you.
Okay.
That's a lot better.
Yeah, because the C word means something else down there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's like nothing to them.
Yeah, it's like in England.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're fairly related, right? So they were trying to get you to say it, and you wouldn't say it. And then at the very end, you just dropped it beautifully.
Really? Because I don't remember.
Yeah, you were kind of drunk. I think that hastened things along. But they I think we got a standing ovation for it, too.
Because I wasn't
Ireland. Like, good night, C's.
Oh, I think I remember that now. I was not Dublin drunk, though.
No, Dublin drunk, you could barely stand up.
Man.
We can talk about this here, right?
Yeah, about drinking?
Yeah.
We can talk about anything.
Okay.
No rules.
All right, I like it.
We're not under the thumb of Discovery Channel anymore.
It's thrilling and terrifying all at once.
So I have on my list, big intro, done.
Check.
Cursing, done.
By you.
Catch up. We're kind of catching up.
Sure.
Even though it's not like, you know, we talk a lot anyway, so it's not like, how you been the past 7 weeks?
How have you been? What about cats up? Is that next on the list?
You know, I don't eat ketchup.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, not into it.
Wow.
My kid loves it, though.
Oh, I did know that because I'm always trying to get you to do curry ketchup.
Yeah, Ruby eats it on her chicken fingers, which is an abomination. I don't know who started that, but now it's the kind of thing where she can't not have it.
Yeah.
And it's just embarrassing. I'm like, right. People are going to think we're trashy.
All the other parents are looking.
So we also decided to do this later. We do Stuff You Should Know at 1 p.m. usually, and we're doing this and having a cocktail for the first time.
Yeah, that's right.
So why don't you tell everyone?
Not for the first time. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Chuck. I know this is your show, and I appreciate you having me on, but I have to interject.
Come on.
This is not for the first time, because if you'll remember, there were some early Stuff You Should Knows.
I didn't know if you were going to talk about that.
Dash out and get a beer, and then come back.
It was always your idea.
It was kind of Mad Men-esque.
Yeah, I remember that. It was when we were working in a different office building in a different neighborhood of Atlanta, mm-hmm. and you would say, let's go have a beer before we record, because I think it loosened you up a little bit.
Yeah. I don't even recognize that version of me anymore.
Oh, dude, you know? I don't either. That was chain smoker, yeah. Glasses wearing.
Yeah. Shaved head.
Shaved head, pudgy, stubbly.
Pudgy.
That, Josh.
I think pudgy is generous, but thank you.
You're not like that. You're a completely different human being now.
Yeah, now I wear scarves wrapped around my head twice like I have a
That's right. Yumi met you and she was like, come on, let's be the best you can be.
She goes, I've been looking for a project.
Well, she did a great job.
She did.
She can come and say hi if she wants to, by the way. There are no rules.
I'll tell her that.
So what are you drinking right now?
Oh, I am drinking a vodka Red Bull.
Oh,
no, I'm kidding.
Oh, that was surprising.
I'm drinking, so I love mules of all kind, right? And I was like, I'd love to have a Kentucky mule, which is, you know, ginger beer and lime and bourbon. Mm-hmm. We don't have any bourbon right now. It's a travesty. But we do have rum. So I was like, oh, I could have a mule with rum. And then I realized it's a Dark and Stormy. So I'm having a Dark and Stormy complete with a Canada Dry Bold that we got for free because they advertised with us on stuff.
Oh, that's right.
And it's pretty good. It's like a good ginger beer out of a can kind of thing.
If you need whiskey, I mean, I can leave some on my porch. I have a huge stocked bar, and I don't really... We're so into the wine, I don't drink a lot of that stuff.
Oh, yeah?
So it just stays stocked.
Okay.
And I could, you know, if you're scared to go to the whiskey store.
No, I appreciate that. I would be much more comfortable coming to your porch than the whiskey store, for sure.
That's right. So I am drinking a gin and tonic, but not kind of your standard gin and tonic. I finally found this stuff, the specialized tonic that I always talk about. First of all, it's Hendrick's Gin.
Yeah.
I'm drinking this local tonic. It's called Robust Tonic from the Liquid Laboratory.
Nice.
And I think you could probably order from the Liquid Laboratory. And this is the stuff that's made, you know, it's brown and it's made from the real cinchona bark or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little Fever Tree. You know, it's not just straight that stuff. You got to mix it with club soda. So a little Fever Tree club soda.
Okay.
And I just threw a little dash of orange bitters in there because I was feeling squirrely.
Yeah, I love it. Have you ever had pepper, like whole pepper corns in your gin and tonic?
No.
That's how they do it in the UK. I think we may have been in Dublin, another Dublin story, and I got one before the show. And they put it in this giant glass goblet and threw in a bunch of peppercorn. And
wow.
It really added some spice to it, like throat-burning degree of spice.
Was it black peppercorn?
Yeah. Yeah. Just a big handful of it. Just threw it in there.
Well, you know, our mutual friend Ben Harrison of the Friendly Fire and Next Gen podcast, regular movie crusher, is torches, and I don't think he invented it because I've seen it elsewhere, but he torches what are the berries in the gin?
I can't believe you're saying
he torches. Are you weirded out?
No. I think it's very hilarious.
You've heard me drop F-bombs for 12 years in real IRL.
I
so
know, but
a
with a
deal.
Microphone in front of you, it just changes things. But please, go ahead. So you told me this.
Fuck.
My brain is melting.
Shit.
You were saying Ben does smoked gin and tonic, right?
Yeah, he smokes the juniper berries with a little chef's torch.
That's so cool.
And turns the glass over upside down and just sort of lets it sit in there for a bit.
Yeah.
And then he flips it over and makes his drink.
Yeah. And he goes, burn, motherfuckers.
Yes.
Those poor juniper berries.
Oh, I knew it. I knew you would get there.
That's
eventually.
The one too. That's what I say.
Burn motherfuckers.
Yeah,
that's
not
your big...
ass or damn or something.
So I posted on the Movie Crush Facebook page that I had a very special guest, long overdue, and there were giddy people guessing. They were like, oh my God, is it Josh? Is it Josh?
That is so sweet. I really do appreciate you having me on, man. It means a lot to me. I know this is your jam. This is your thing. And for you to kind of invite me in just even for a moment, it's quite an honor.
Hey, I mean, it's not like that. Like, you had me on End of the World, so I had to repay the favor.
Right, exactly. You played experts A through D.
No, well, we were looking for a movie. You had a couple of movies to do a regular episode. But then I've been invited, like, Emily's done many crushes during the quarantine, yep. And I had Hodgman on. Yep. And I was like, I think it would be a lot more fun to get you in here for one of these, where we just dick around.
That's fine with me.
Than to deep dive on Paper Moon, which we can also do one day, but...
I love that movie so much.
No, don't talk about it.
Okay. Save it. That's
spoilers.
Cool.
All right, dude. So here's what we do here. I'm sure you don't listen. I would not listen if I were you. But we do different segments, and... one of them for new guests that we always try to do, and this is especially great for you because it was the tradition of the haiku was born in Stuff You Should Know, but we do something called Haiku Theater, mm-hmm. where the movie crushers, who, by the way, are 100% Stuff You Should Knowers. I don't think there's one person who listens to Movie Crush.
Do you have a lot of crossover?
It's only crossover. I don't think one person listens that came by it just like, oh, this is a good movie podcast.
I gotcha. That's
sweet. They're all Stuff You Should Know people.
That's sweet.
It is sweet. But, I mean, you know, it would be kind of good for the show if some other people came aboard, but whatever. but what they do is they write a haiku that describes a film, and then the guest, and it's not a competition, the guest has to offer up a suggestion. It's sort of like trying to stump you, but, you know, I don't want to make anybody feel bad, especially you.
Thanks, man. Everybody wins.
Well,
it's like
we'll
a soccer
see.
Game.
And this is, you know, I had Hodgman on the past 2 weeks, and this is much better because,
oh man,
you know how Hodgman is.
Oh, yeah, I'm holding back. I've got to throttle back. I'm sure Hodgman just went from first to fifth, like, automatically.
That's what he does.
Sure.
That's great.
That's Hodgman.
We love him.
Of course.
All right, so we're gonna start off. Where did you go?
I'm right here. You can't see me?
No, I can. But, you know, usually when you click like a internet page. Okay, there you go. It pops up a smaller
Are
window.
You looking at my bio?
Huh? No. Who is this guy? On your Wikipedia page?
That gin and tonic does sound pretty good. And you're going to have to send me tell me the name of the tonic place again, okay?
I'll just send you some.
You've said that before.
Well, but that was when I could just bring it into work. But believe it or not, I would probably be more prone to mail you one.
Yeah.
Because of quarantine, because everyone's in the sharing spirit.
Okay, I'll take it, man.
All right, I'll send you some.
Thanks. And maybe throw some of that whiskey you were talking about in there too.
I had a feeling. I had a feeling that was coming. All right, so we're going to start off, and we'll go through a few of these. So do you understand your role here? What you're supposed to be doing?
I'm supposed to complete the haiku?
No. Yeah, I'm going to leave one syllable in the last verse blank.
All right. I'm not very good at these, so this is going to be terrible.
No, you're supposed to guess the movie that they're describing.
All right, gotcha. That's even better.
So this is from old pal Callie Lewis. Mm-hmm. Here, and it goes a little something like this. Colonoscopy, sports bets and anxiety, Furbies make great bling. I don't know if you've seen this yet.
Good Lord. Yet. Okay, that means that it's kind of recent.
Yeah, so this might not be fair.
Let's see. Furbies make great bling, colonoscopy, Moneyball.
No, but good guess.
Okay.
Uncut Gems. Have you seen that yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, that
explains
that.
I've heard nothing but good things.
I mean, I loved it. It's a very divisive film. Lot of people hated it.
Why?
Because it's one long panic attack on screen.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, not really. It's more of a panic attack for the audience, but I'm not going to go any further because I know you hate spoilers worse than...
I might like that.
Anything.
I like the Revolutionary Road, which is one long, horrific fight between a husband and wife that ends in the wife dying, I believe. Sorry to anyone who's not seen Revolutionary Road.
No, that's all right. I think I saw that once, but that was not a movie I could dive into again.
It's all you need. That one time.
It was pretty brutal. Mm-hmm. But it was nice to see Leo survived the cold Atlantic. Right. Because they were reunited. They should do another movie together.
Oh, you know what? It didn't even occur to me that those two were in Titanic together.
Yeah, they survived Titanic and then got married and hated each other.
Right, yeah. They're like, this is a terrible mistake. I wish you would have died.
There was room on that raft.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people mention that. And she's like, no.
Yeah, that's a thing.
I'm comfy. I don't want to scoot over.
All right, let me see here.
So I'm 0 for 1.
Okay, here's one. We're not keeping score. That comes later. Courtney Abbott says this. Uh-huh. Smarter than he looks, he loves her, but he's hurting. How about them apples?
Oh, well, that is Good Will Hunting.
Yes. Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, nice. I was going to say, is there like a bell sound effect or something?
I literally just looked around knowing that I don't have, I have a kazoo.
Oh, okay.
Oh. That's not even a kazoo. That's a,
that's
the
opposite
fake kid's
of
kazoo. all right. That was good. Usually there's one good line that gives it away, like how about them apples?
Sure.
I'm not going to read that because I'm sure you haven't seen the new Cats.
No. No, as a matter of fact, I saw Cats on stage at the Fox, and it was maybe the only time in my life I've purposefully tried to make myself go to sleep because I couldn't leave. I was with my dad, I believe, and he was driving, so I just couldn't just leave. I had to stay there, and I didn't want to be awake any longer.
I love that your dad took you to Cats.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we did a lot of weird stuff together, me and dad. He'd always hand me like a handful of pills of like herbal vitamins.
Right.
He'd be like, take these.
You're going to need it.
Right.
I told you my Annie story, right? When we went and saw Annie on Broadway at the Fox or whatever, the Broadway version at the Fox.
I don't think so.
I love Annie. Like, I'm a big fan, but I don't know what it was that night. I kind of just like needed to step out and I went into the lobby of the Fox and during a show, you know, the lobby of the Fox is great because mm-hmm. it's empty. And mm-hmm. I went to have a drink and I asked for a whiskey and the guy poured me the just barely under the rim of the jigger. And I was like, come on, man. I was like, no one's around. I'm at Annie. And he was like, well, sir, if you'd like to pay for a double shot.
Oh.
And I that made me so mad.
Right. He said, this will be affecting your tip, sir.
No, of course I tipped him because I'm a dummy.
All
right,
really?
Here's Zach. Well, yeah, I mean,
what
you know, that's, I think places like that, they're under the thumb of big theater.
Right? Yeah, no, that was a personal decision on that guy's part, frankly.
All right, we're going to go with Zach Lowe here. You may know this. You're going to be shocked that I don't think I've ever seen this movie.
Okay.
From the 80s.
Okay.
From the 80s, I said.
I heard you.
Zach Lowe says this. Alex breaks record. The music man recruits him. Victory or death?
What? It's from the 80s?
Mm-hmm.
Music man recruits him. Like, does he mean literally the production of the music man brings him on?
No. I'll give you another hint. It was a sci-fi film from the 80s. Very sort of iconic 80s kids sci-fi film.
Oh, The Last Starfighter?
Yes.
What music man?
I don't know. And it's in all caps, too. The capital M, capital M.
Huh.
Oh, you know, maybe the guy who played that character who recruited him was the music man from the other, from the music man.
Maybe.
That would be my guess.
I think it was, I want to say it was Mandy Patinkin, but I could be thinking of him in Alien Nation.
And he is a music man. He's not the music man.
Right. He's one of many.
Great points. that's a good one. Can you believe I've never seen that movie? Isn't that weird?
At this point, you've seen just the most random, you've not seen the most random hodgepodge assortment of movies that I can actually believe that you've never seen that. That ship may have sailed.
Okay.
Like
I think you're gonna
Maybe when your daughter is old enough to appreciate it, you should watch it with her.
We're trying to make the Goonies decision now. We're like, is it too early for the Goonies? Because that's of all movies, that and E.T. Mm-hmm. and probably Jurassic Park are the three movies we're just dying to show her.
Yeah, I can feel you. I've never been into the Goonies very much. As a matter of fact, I don't know that I've seen it all the way through. I think I've seen all of it just in bits and pieces, but not from start to finish ever.
Well, thanks for being on the show. we're gonna close. That's shocking to me, but you've not seen a very random eclectic. But we're gonna save that because there's a segment on that.
Okay.
Everyone that listens knows what's coming. Brian Ridge says this: Travolta is big, mm-hmm. prolific fiction writer, but missing Xenu. Xenu is the big giveaway there.
But it's missing Xenu.
Well, I mean, what would Xenu be in? There's only one movie.
The Last Starfighter. Battle, is it Battle for Earth? Is that the movie with Xenu?
Battlefield Earth, yes.
Okay.
The Scientology movie.
So, wait, did Travolta play an author in there or something?
No. He played... Yeah, Battlefield Earth is about an author that just can't crack his first novel.
It threw me off. Were they making an L. Ron Hubbard reference?
Yeah.
Are we allowed to say his name?
Sure.
Okay, I didn't know.
What, you thought he was banned from crossing our lips?
No. I was worried that I was going to get you sued.
Oh.
Movie crush.
If I got sued for movie crush, you would still be a defendant.
That doesn't seem fair.
I know, but we're in this together. All right, here we go. I think you've seen this one. This is from Kenneth Hannon. Mm-hmm. You've seen Wicker Man? Yeah. Well, this is like Wicker Man with a female lead.
That's a haiku, huh? That's pretty clever.
You've seen Wicker Man? Well, this is like Wicker Man with a female lead.
Yep. Lead.
575.
I just watched the original Wicker Man the other day. It just doesn't help things at all.
Good movie.
It is very good. The remake wasn't very good.
I didn't see that.
It wasn't very good.
I refuse.
With the female lead, and it's a movie, right? It has to be a movie.
I don't think you've seen this then if you haven't gotten it by now.
Romancing the Stone.
That's right.
All right. I just pulled that one out of thin air.
No, it's Midsommar. Have you not seen that yet?
Yes. Yeah, I can totally see that now. Yeah, I loved it. Okay. It was really disturbing.
Also a divisive movie.
Well, yeah, I could see a lot of people disliking that movie for sure.
You know, Nolan and I went on and on about it. I loved a lot of things about it. I thought it was gorgeous, mm-hmm. and it was top-notch filmmaking. Mm-hmm. I thought it was too long. I think they could have cut out 20 minutes of that movie easily.
They agreed.
At least one of those eating scenes, and that whole first mushroom trip was very cool and accurate, but I don't think it moved the story along any.
No, it was some pretty ham-fisted foreshadowing for sure. But
yeah,
at the same time, one thing that I've learned that with a movie like that, and this is just my personal take, when something seems like overly long, mm-hmm. I really have come to think, like, I really think that director might have been onto something in that they, and I don't know, maybe it's just me, because sometimes I go on overly long when I'm saying something, as I'm doing right now. But with a movie like Midsommar, I don't know if the end impact or the general dread or whatever it was that gets built up into you from watching that movie would have been quite as impactful had they taken out, you know, one of those dinner scenes. I totally agree with you. It could have happened, and it would have been virtually the same movie, but it may not have been the same movie in that it may not have gotten you that much. I could also be wrong, because what really turns that movie is when that older couple jump from the cliff. Like,
oh boy.
I mean, that does everything you need, and that happens in like the first 20 minutes, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah. That was brutal. It was, I don't know about 20 minutes, because it took a while to get going. But no, I never really thought about that, because it is a movie that counts on a very slow burn sense of dread. Mm-hmm. So maybe if you miss, apparently there's like a fucking 5-hour version.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know if even I could make it through that one.
Did you see, you saw Hereditary, right?
Yeah, I like that one. I think I liked them both equally, to tell you the truth. But when I think of movies like that, my mind inevitably goes to The Witch. I know it's not the same guy. I always want to call him Dave Eggers, but I think it's Robert Eggers, right?
I think it's Robert Eggers did The Lighthouse and The Witch.
Yes. And I mean, we've talked about this before and stuff. You should know, like, The Lighthouse is one of the better movies ever made.
Loved it.
Like, everything about it, the cinematography, like, each shot's layout, the acting is about as good as any two people have ever acted in their entire lives.
I know. They got so robbed.
They really did. And the dialogue, it just seems like if you were reading the dialogue, you'd be like, Jesus, when is this, you know, monologue going to end? Or this one long run-on sentence. But the, like, all the more reason to take your hat off to those guys for being able to nail it and sell it. I really do. I agree. I think they got robbed for sure. But anyway, I think The Witch is one of the best movies of all time, for sure.
I loved it. And I need to see that again.
You can watch it over and over again. It's one of those ones. It's not like Revolutionary Road. You can watch that one and enjoy it multiple times. Kind of like also Black Coat's Daughter.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're doing. I saw, you know, I'm not like the biggest meme guy, but some of these pandemic quarantine memes have been kind of funny.
Yeah.
And I saw one the other day that had, it had the girl from Hereditary on the left side. And it said, 2020 is going to be my year. And then right below it, it just had a telephone pole.
It's pretty good. I saw one today, actually, that was, it said, us rolling into January 2020, and it's Danny and Sandy from Greece, like, through the windshield of the convertible, and then it says, us rolling into May 2020, and it's Vincent Vega and Mia Wallace, like, through the windshield. It's just perfect. Whoever came up with that.
After her OD, I suppose.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, she looks pretty rough. And he looks all mad. Oh, man.
They shouldn't. Man, what a genius casting would it have been if Uma Thurman would have been Olivia Newton-John.
That would have been pretty genius. I don't know if she could have pulled it off.
No, I don't think so. God bless her. All right, let's do one more of these. Because, as you know, you and I both hate haikus. That's our dirty secret.
It's not so much I hate haiku. It's that I hate losing, and I'm losing right now, so.
Oh, you're not losing. Wow, there's another Last Starfighter one. Interesting.
It is interesting.
I'm going to read it just because I shouldn't say that, because Brian Clark right now is probably like, oh, no. Harold Hill in Space, Death Blossom, The Last Resort, Victory or Death.
The Last
Starfighter.
They
had the same last line. You got it.
All right.
All right. Here we go. We'll finish up with Mike Sams, one of our old pals. He says this, uh-oh, the cellos, a sign something must be near, avoid the water.
Uh-oh, the cellos.
The musical instrument.
Yeah. What was the middle part again?
A sign that something must be near.
Okay.
A sign something must be near. Uh-huh. And then avoid the water.
Avoid the water. Is it Titanic?
No.
Okay, hold on. Wait,
not a bad guess. There were cellos and water.
Yeah, right.
In the Titanic.
Right. An iceberg was near. What about... the cellos. He could be talking about like the...
What about
Jaws, Jaws,
Bob.
Jaws.
Yes.
Jaws. I did it, Chuck.
Yank, 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 yank.
Yes.
Yank.
I was thinking that like they showed somebody playing a cello and it just took me off on the wrong path. That was a good one.
Yeah, these are tough.
That was a good one.
These can be hard. All right, we're going to move on to another, and this one is, it's not a competition, it's a competition with yourself, but it's the only Movie Crush segment where I do keep score, and it is also a tradition for a guest on the Mini Crushes. And it's called Josh's Holes.
Okay.
So this is where I make a list of 20 films.
Okay.
Usually in a genre, and the goal, not the goal, but what ends up happening is we expose your movie holes okay. on whether or not you have seen this film. So it's easy. All you got to do is say, yes, I have seen it, or no.
Okay.
And then feel free to elaborate and pontificate.
Okay. At the end or bit by bit? Because this could go a couple hours.
Whenever. No, with Hodgman, it took quite a long time.
I'm sure.
It started out as Noel's holes, but then everyone has, we did Emily's holes, mm-hmm. Hodgman's holes, mm-hmm. and then when Annie was on Mini Crush, we did movies Annie hasn't seen yet.
Nice.
Because, you know, we worked together. I didn't want to.
I think that was wise, Chuck. That's the wisdom that comes with working in the same place for 13 years.
That's right. Annie's a beloved guest. Everyone loves her, by the way.
Yeah, she's great.
No surprise. All right, so here we go. Number one, and here's the category. Uh-huh. I didn't want to, like, I kind of know what you've seen and what you hadn't, but the whole goal is not to, like, see if I can get you. The goal is to be as random as possible. Mm-hmm. So I lobbed out very popular movies, and then I went with 80s and 90s Best Picture nominees.
Okay, well, Yumi and I recently watched Girls Just Want to Have Fun, so check that one off of your list.
Have you all seen that yet?
Oh, she grew up on it. She was just like,
okay,
just sitting there with her hands like clasped beneath her chin, just having the greatest time. And I'm like, I don't remember any dance competition in this movie.
Man, I'm trying to imagine not having a kid and being able to just watch as many movies and things as you want and read books and all that good stuff.
It is nice. Like, you know, life isn't all just champagne and roses without
kids.
No,
of course.
You know, there's still a lot of responsibility that comes along.
And everyone is stressed out. I'm not trying to minimize saying, like, if you're single or if you don't have kids, fucking walk in the park.
Right. I don't want to hear it from you.
All right.
I didn't take it that way. I don't think anybody would.
We're going to start with a little movie called Raging Bull.
I have not seen it.
Okay.
Are you doing these chronologically?
The first 10 are 80s, the second 10 are 90s.
Okay. I have to say, I detected a distinct note of negative judgment in your okay.
Well, that is a Holes tradition. It's sort of a character I go into when someone misses one. Uh-huh. I just go, mm-hmm, all right.
So you've got like that, you would be a really good polygraph test giver.
Oh, I would rule.
I mean, you just kind of nailed that part. So.
Did you murder your wife? No. Okay.
I see. That's your answer.
I see. All right. Question two. Uh-huh. What'd you have for breakfast this morning?
I had, do you want to know? I had toast with apricot jam.
Okay. I see. All right. Number two is a movie starring Katherine Hepburn, Henry Fonda, and Jane Fonda called On Golden Pond.
I have not seen that one either.
Okay.
I don't feel at all bad about that.
Defiant.
Yep. That okay just bounced right off of my armor.
Bounced right off that scarf around your face? Yep.
I must look so ridiculous right now.
It's pretty great. I'm used to it already.
Good.
All right. Number three, a little comedy starring Dustin Hoffman and featuring Bill Murray and also starring, what's her name? Jessica Lange.
Uh-huh.
Tootsie.
Started it the other day. Didn't make it through the first 5 minutes.
Really?
There is a montage that is many minutes long of Dustin Hoffman teaching acting. And I can't think of a lamer thing that anyone outside of the acting profession would want to see. It was so self-congratulatory and just, I was like, I'm totally over this. It wasn't funny. There was nothing that sucked me in. I was,
okay.
I stayed as long as I did because I know it's like supposedly just one of the all-time great movies and I just couldn't do it.
All right.
Plus,
so,
I'm not,
so
a
five
huge,
minutes?
Not a huge Dustin Hoffman fan anyway. Like, I like him just fine when I like him, but I'm not, I don't seek out his work, you know?
I love Dustin Hoffman, but he was swept up in the Me Too movement as being a perv with that a handsy perv with one of his assistants or somebody.
Oh, is that right? Oh, yeah, that's right. I heard about that. It just kind of faded out, but so did he as well. I haven't heard from him for a while.
Well, it's not like he was still lighting up the box office, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Number four. I know you've seen this, okay. Or at least I pray to God that you've seen this.
Okay.
A little movie that featured a boiling bunny called Fatal Attraction. No.
Okay. I've seen the bunny part. I've seen the end many times. I've seen the sexy elevator scene. I've seen them walking through the carnival.
Like, I've seen that like 14 times, the elevator scene.
I had HBO when I was a kid.
I saw it earlier today a couple of times.
No, I have not. I can't say that I've seen Fatal Attraction. So seen means you've seen the whole movie all the way through at least once, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've not. Yeah. I can't say. I'm really sorry. I swear to God, I'm cultured. I like movies.
Well, you're pulling it. You were pulling a Noel there. That's what Noel does. Like, oh, I've seen parts of it, and like, I think I've kind of seen it in patches. And
that is a great Noel impression.
It's terrible. You would like Fatal Attraction. That is a great, great 80s thriller.
I like the ending a lot. I mean, I thought it was great, the end part. But it's one of those things where it's like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I went to go watch that a second time, and I was like, nah, I'm just going to fast forward to like the last 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's great to see all that build up once, but after that, it's, you know, I don't think you need to see it again. I didn't need to see it again.
You just want to see the Manson family get brutalized.
Exactly. Yeah, pretty much.
It was a movie that was sort of built around, I mean, I loved it, but it was sort of built around a big, long setup and a big kapow of an ending.
Yeah, and I know I must sound hypocritical having just defended Midsommar for the same thing. I don't know. Maybe I just wasn't in the mood. Maybe in a couple of years I'll watch the whole thing all the way through. Because it is a beautifully done film, if you ask me.
It is. It was great.
Are you? All right. I thought you didn't like his stuff that much.
Well, you know, my deal with Tarantino, and everyone's sick of hearing about this on this show, but I love his early stuff. And I just think he needs to edit stuff down a bit. He's a little too indulgent.
That movie is a good example of that for sure.
Yeah, but I like this one more than I've liked anything since the Nazi one.
Inglourious Bastards?
Yeah.
You didn't like Hateful Eight, huh?
Oh, that was probably my least favorite.
I like that one a lot. I liked it even better the second time I saw it, too.
I don't know if I could get through it a second time.
Yeah.
It was so goddamn long.
It is very long and kind of circuitous, but I liked it. There was a lot more action in that than there was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And that's what it takes to keep my interest.
It was set in one room.
I know, but there was a lot going on, and there was like a lot of mystery to it and intrigue, and there was way more going on in that one room than there was in all of Los Angeles and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Whoa. Mm. All right. I didn't hate it or anything, and I will say that I laughed every time they did the door, nailing the door shut bit.
Yeah.
That was really good. Funny.
Yeah.
All right, number five, another Dustin Hoffman movie, as it turns out, a little movie about Tom Cruise and his big brother called Rain Man.
Yes. I've seen that a couple times. You're like,
I don't get to put two yeses. Yeah. All right. Rain Man. Good movie. Very dated, though.
I could see that.
And I'm not saying that in a way that like it doesn't hold up, but it is so 80s.
Oh, yeah, that one scene where they're coming down the escalator in the matching super 80s, like, high-button mock collar shirts. And he's like a no Testarossa tie. Salesman or something like that, isn't he?
Yeah, like high-end sports car. He's just a douche.
Yeah, he does that one well.
All right, number six. A little movie about baseball and dreams called Field of Dreams.
Yes, many times.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, if you have the MLB network, it's on 8 times a day.
Is it really?
Especially now, but even before, they show Field of Dreams and 8 Men Out constantly in the offseason.
Both good movies.
Yeah, but that's it. Apparently, that's all they've got. It's like you're aware of the Bad News Bears, right?
Has there ever been a bad baseball movie? Maybe Major League 2 wasn't that great. Yeah. But think about it. The Field of Dreams, The Natural, 8 Men Out, Bad News Bears, the first Major League.
Bull Durham.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there was that one. Angels in the Outfield probably wasn't great. And then there was, oh wait, there was that other one with the kid that played the pitcher for the Cubs.
I don't know that one.
Oh, I can't remember.
Was
the name
it Gary
of it.
Coleman?
Oh God, I wish. Did he die?
Yes, he did. He died, frankly, somewhat mysteriously, if you ask me. I think he supposedly fell down the stairs at his home in Utah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and I don't know much more than that, but I always thought it was weird.
You're like, he died by falling down the stairs, and his wife was known to be quite shovey.
She had the pushy hands.
I saw Webster in the airport once.
I saw Webster at Lenox Mall once.
Really?
Yeah, that's very odd that is a celebrity that we've both seen before.
Independently, that's weird.
When did you see him?
This is when I was living in L.A., so it was late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay, I saw him. I don't know.
This is when he was short.
Right. I saw him after that. This was like maybe 5-6 years ago, and he was carrying a duffel bag of laundry over his shoulder through the mall, which was a very odd sight to see.
Wow.
On top of seeing Webster at the mall.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like on top of a pack mule.
Right. Just slowly walking through, making eye contact with everyone.
Is he still alive?
I don't know. I knew you were going to ask that, and you beat me to it.
Yeah. All right. Number 7.
Okay.
A movie starring Harrison Ford about a little murder that happens in an Amish community called Witness.
Yes. I saw that one in theaters, as a matter of fact.
Ooh, I feel like I should give you a bonus for that.
I think you should. I could use it.
All right. I picked this one because I know you've seen it. So a movie about astronauts called The Right Stuff.
Yes. So I've got a little story about that one. That was like my dad just loved that movie for some reason. And we went and rented it. And it came as like 3 videotapes. This
oh,
is
wow.
Like, you know, where you went to the video store and there was like 5 movies. And it was Beverly Hills Cop, Looker, Runaway, and The Right Stuff, basically, were your choices when you went to the video store. And so he had my whole family watch The Right Stuff on his birthday, which happens to be the 4th of July. And he made garbage pail stew, which is like a bunch of sausage and like cabbage heads and all this stuff
You
cook over a flame in a new garbage pail. It's supposed to be new. You don't want to do it in a used garbage pail. It's gross. But that's my memory of The Right Stuff is watching it like that.
Well, and you are a current, you and Yumi both are current space exploration enthusiasts.
Yes, we're going down to Florida on May 27th for the manned launch. The
awesome.
Humanned launch for the first
Which
time.
Which is NASA?
Or
Elon Musk?
I think it's Elon Musk, as a matter of fact, who's... Yeah, no, I'm sorry. It's definitely SpaceX that's sending these guys to the ISS.
Okay.
Because that's, you know, it's such a big deal that we rely on Russia to ferry American astronauts to the International
right.
Space Station, like $70 million a seat. So this is an enormous thing that like we're taking that back over, and they're going to be shooting them into space from Cape Canaveral. So we're going to be watching that. We're pretty psyched
awesome.
About it, actually. Yeah.
It's amazing.
But so yeah, The Right Stuff. I've seen it.
All right. You have equalized, my friend.
Oh, really?
At 8N, we have equalized.
Thank you.
All right. Number 9, a movie about a little musician called Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, called Amadeus.
Could not make it through that one.
Okay. Fair enough. It's long.
Did you see it?
Sure.
Okay.
Number 10.
No more to say about that.
A movie that oddly introduced me to Motown music, even though I didn't see the movie until 20 years after I listened to the soundtrack as a 12-year-old.
Okay.
About a group of 30-something boomers called The Big Chill.
No, I've not seen The Big Chill, but I did see that one Saturday Night Live sketch that was based on it when Glenn Close hosted.
Oh, I didn't.
And I guess part of the movie is she like offers her husband to her friend who is trying to have a baby.
Yeah.
And they
right.
go and like, you know, do it, as it were. And
okay.
In this sketch, it's the same premise, but she's like downstairs, you know, just kind of being, you know, super feely and just in, at one with the universe for having made this gesture. But
uh-huh.
they're like really start to go at it within earshot. Oh. She just starts kind of second guessing her decision because
that's pretty funny.
She seemed to be having like a really intense time at it. Yeah.
Like she thought it was going to be some kind of clinical, like, let's just get you pregnant.
Yeah. Or like, you know, just something sweet and probably quick. She's like sitting there in a big, you know, chunky sweater, like drinking a glass of tea or a mug of tea. They're just like making a lot of noise.
Wow. That's really funny. Yeah. That's a great idea for a sketch,
it
actually.
Is.
All right. Number 11. A movie about a real life doctor called Awakenings.
Yeah, that was a good one. I like that one. It was like the antithesis of a follow up, Patch Adams, which I did
right.
see in
about
the
about the same doctor, right?
Huh?
Same doctor, right? Wasn't that the same guy?
No, totally different doctor. The first one was Oliver Sacks, the famous Oliver Sacks, the neurologist.
That's right. Patch Adams was about a clown doctor.
It's about Patch Adams, yeah. Oliver Sacks just sat up in his grave and laughed himself back to death with that one. But Patch Adams is just such a terrible movie that I felt robbed having seen it in the theater. It's just so bad. So
it's weird that you saw that in the
melodramatic,
theater.
Melodramatic, you know?
All right, number 12, a true life film, or a true story, as most normal people would say, called Bugsy.
Never saw it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm really sorry, man. Are you sure that
apologize.
A lot of people like haven't seen most of the films on these lists?
That people in general have seen these or have not?
Past guests.
Oh, you know what, Noel? Believe it or not, usually it comes down to The Wire.
Okay.
At the very end
it's
with Noel.
Like 50-50?
Yeah, okay. And it comes down to like the last couple. Hodgman got trounced, if that makes you feel any better.
Oh, that makes me feel a lot better.
I did independent films because I thought he would fare well.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that one.
And he got kind of killed.
I can't wait. That's going to be delicious.
All right, number 13, a movie about, it's a movie about a lot of things. It's called The Crying Game.
I've not seen it. But I love that song by Boy George.
Yeah, good one, huh?
Yes. And that's one of those ones. So Netflix and Prime, one of the few good things that's come out of this COVID-19 crisis is like they have really started to throw some stuff at their libraries that weren't there before. It was getting a little weak for a little while, and they've definitely stepped their game up. Yeah, definitely thin. And The Crying Game is up there. There's a whole bunch of new James Bond, like Roger Moore 80s James Bond, which I think is just the best. Although now that I go back and see him, I see what you're talking about. It is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, but that's who we grew up with.
Sure. But there's just a lot of much better movies, higher caliber movies than there usually are on there. So I'm kind of slowly knocking them out. I watched Velvet Buzzsaw two nights ago, and that does not qualify.
I haven't seen that yet.
It's not that great.
Oh, really?
If you like Nightcrawler, you're going to be grossly disappointed by Velvet Buzzsaw.
That's the one about the art scene with Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's Jake Gyllenhaal, it's Rene Russo, it's the same director, I think, Dan Gilroy. And
I think that's her husband.
Is it? It's a good diversion, it's something different, it's offbeat, but it just doesn't know what it wants to be. Like, if you go into it not expecting much, you might enjoy it to an extent.
Okay, number 14, and if that was a weird pickup, I don't even remember what I was saying. I went to go get a phone plug and make another drink. You peed.
Uh-huh. I'm still on the same drink.
Well, that's good for you.
Hey, I've got a little tip for you. So this Dark and Stormy, you know, it's just like ginger beer, rum, and lime. I put a little like 1/4 ounce of Velvet Falernum in there, and it just
Velvet what?
Velvet Falernum. It's the liqueur that makes tiki drinks taste tiki. And so I gave like a little tiki twist to this Dark and Stormy, which is a tiki drink in its heart. And it's
okay.
I strongly recommend it.
All right. Velvet Falernum.
It made it pop in the words of marketing departments everywhere.
Oh yeah. Marketing departments are the best. All right. So number 14.
Okay.
You're not doing as bad as you thought. You could make a big strong comeback here.
Okay.
I think you might have seen this, a movie with Daniel Day-Lewis, another true story, called In the Name of the Father.
No, I didn't. Okay. Everybody, you can't see this right now, but my face is in my palm.
No, this is all just fun. It's not No one should ever feel bad about their holes.
Sure, but isn't the point to expound upon, like, each movie?
Yeah,
well, I can't
sure.
do that because I haven't seen them.
Well, no, but you can expound upon why you haven't seen it, too.
I did not see it because I was not into Daniel Day-Lewis at the time. I'm just going to come out and say it, okay? And there was a brief time where I was into Daniel Day-Lewis, and that stopped starting with There Will Be Blood.
You didn't like that one?
No.
Okay. Yeah, that's a tough movie. There was a point where Paul Thomas Anderson started making movies that are hard to enjoy.
Yeah, for sure. We walked out of Inherent Vice, actually.
Yeah, Inherent Vice, There Will Be Blood, The Master, and Phantom Thread. They're not like enjoyable, quote, enjoyable, unquote, movies. Mm-hmm.
I know, it's sad because the guy is just so amazing. But he's making movies, and there's definitely a reason to do this. Like, I see a value in it, making movies for yourself.
Yeah.
But I think he's missing the point. Like, usually that means, like, make a movie that you will enjoy, but not just you, like, other
right.
people as well. Like, he is literally making a movie for himself and maybe a small group of friends. And then I mean, I don't want to yuck anybody's yum, as it were, but I feel like there's probably a lot of people who, especially in his later work, enjoy
yeah.
it because there's a sense that if you don't enjoy it, you are maybe lacking culturally or artistically
right.
or intellectually. And
yeah, yeah.
That's
I know
no
what you
reason
mean.
To like a movie. Like, you like a movie because you like the movie. So, I mean,
yeah.
anyone who did like There Will Be Blood or any of the other movies that he's made lately, that's great. I have no problem with that. But don't like a movie just because you think you're supposed to have to like a movie.
Yeah, I mean, I liked them all, but they were just challenging movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, none of them have protagonists that you can get behind,
mm-hmm.
and that's always tough. But you'll be glad to know his next movie, which was supposed to be shooting right now, so I imagine they're, not imagine, they've got to be delayed,
sure.
but he's making a movie, I think, about, like, a high school kid in the 70s in L.A.
That sounds like that could be up my alley.
So I don't think it's, unless he's just an asshole.
Right.
It won't be another movie about a character that you can't identify with.
Right. He pitched it like, okay, it's just like Dazed and Confused, except unwatchable. It's going to kill.
Except this guy's a real prick and everyone hates him.
Right. It's going to suck the money right out of your bank account.
All right. Number 15. I think you've probably seen this. A movie about a pig called Babe.
Babe just saw for the first time in a decade or so. And
okay.
Chuck, when's the last time you saw Babe?
It's been a long time. It's a pretty magical movie.
It is maybe the most magical.
It might be.
Like, you forget that you're not actually watching a talking pig and that this is not that pig's personality. And like, it's just, it, not only does it hold up, it's actually managed to get better. James Cromwell's delightful in
He's
it.
He's awesome.
I don't know the actress who plays his wife. She's
can't
great.
Remember.
Like, everybody in that movie is just great. The dogs are great. Like, the whole movie is just wonderful. Like, if you haven't seen Babe in a while, or if you
yeah.
just saw Babe yesterday, watch it again right after this.
I think Ruby could probably watch that
yep.
by now.
Yeah, for sure. And I think
she would
she's definitely reached the age where she could watch it and appreciate it. But I think also she's got years ahead of her to appreciate it on different levels as well.
Right. You know, Jesse Thorne, our mutual friend, is he's a big fan of Babe 2, Pig in the City. He said, that's amazing.
I never saw that. Yeah, I didn't see that one either. I may go take my own advice and watch it right after this.
All right.
Okay. That was so that counts. That was one. And I expounded
yes,
on it. So I fulfilled my obligation.
I have a feeling you have not seen this movie. I feel bad because it just doesn't seem like a movie you would see. The English Patient.
With Sean Thomas Scott.
Yes.
That was a crossover reference, huh?
It was.
And I have not seen it. With Ralph Fiennes and Kristen Scott Thomas set in World War II
yeah.
in the desert, I think. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I have
not
seen
it. Know a lot about
it.
All right, so here's the deal.
Oh wait!
If
how did
if
I
you sweep these? If you sweep these last four,
okay,
then you equalize.
All right, I'm just going to lie then. All right,
There's nothing to stop you from doing
okay.
that.
Okay. Oh, well, I wish you would have told me that at the beginning of this.
I think you might have seen all four of these.
Okay.
All right, number 17, L.A. Confidential.
Yes, that was a good movie. That was when I was like, I like this Guy Pearce character. He's all right.
Okay. And Russell Crowe was so good in that as like sort of the thug cop who beats up all the right people.
Yeah, he's a really like overlooked actor, even though he was, you know, one of the biggest stars of the late 90s, early 2000s. I think a lot of people, because he went around beating people up at the same time in real life, that kind of overshadowed his actual acting abilities. But if you go back and look at some of his stuff, I think he was really good in The Insider. Did you see that one with Pacino is like a reporter or something like that, or a producer?
Ooh-ah.
Yeah. I think he actually does that. He ends a phone call like that. But he was great in that. He was great in Master and Commander. He was wonderful.
Dude, in Master and Commander, so great.
It really is. And what the one thing that's weird about that movie is they set it up like they knew it was going to be a franchise, and then it just never panned out.
Yeah.
Like there was a colon in the name. Like they expected there to also be like Master and Commander, Spring Break, or something like that eventually. You know?
Show me your tits. You probably knew, but there was a bunch of Master and Commander books.
Okay. Yeah. I did. I knew it was based on a book. So they just chose one book.
Yeah. And I think there was a big series. So that was probably why the colon was there.
I gotcha.
That's one of the most realistic. Like The Lighthouse is another one, like where the realism really just like sells the movie. Yeah. And Master and Commander was like, how did they even go about making that movie?
Yeah, no, I know they did a magnificent job. Another one that kind of sucks you in, but at the same time, it maintains like the whole blockbuster feel to it. You know, like it lifts you up and kind of carries you off with it. So I have seen. What was the question?
I don't even know.
Okay, whatever it was, that counts as one I've seen.
I already deleted it. Here, let me undo that because I am curious. LA Confidential.
That's right.
And you just did like a pull quote for the movie poster. It lifts you up and carries you with it.
Yeah.
Says Josh Clark.
Right. They're going to start printing movie posters for Master and Commander, Other Side of the World again, just to get that one out there.
All right. Number 18, a movie about death row and magic, The Green Mile.
Yes, I have seen that a couple times. I didn't like it nearly as much as Shawshank Redemption, but I'll bet single person who's ever seen The Green Mile said that same exact sentence. But it is still good.
Right.
Michael Clark, I think there's
Duncan?
A third. Yes.
Yeah.
It's in there somewhere. It's either his middle name or his last name. Michael Duncan Clark.
I think he died, didn't he?
I believe he did, as a matter of fact, within the last few years. Yeah. He was
sad.
Wonderful in that. Just pulled at your heartstrings. And that Percy guy, the bad guy. Who didn't wet the sponge? Yeah, thumbs down. He was a bad guy.
You got to wet that sponge, Percy.
Yeah. I think he played Janosch in Ghostbusters 2, didn't he?
You know, Ghostbusters 2 registered so little with me, I don't remember much about it.
He played, if it is the same guy, he played Janosch in Ghostbusters 2, where the guy's like, hello, baby, where's the baby? And then he also played Fish in Ally McBeal, the series.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
Oh, that was a good. That was a good show.
Does that count? What's going on?
You count that as a half point.
With your scarf now, I just am now seeing the top of it. You have it bunned up in the top, and you look like Genie from I Dream of Genie.
That's exactly what I was going for, Chuck. Thank you for noticing.
All right, two more.
I think your second gin and tonic kicked in. That's what I think.
You are staging a furious comeback, and I'm going to flip-flop these because I'm pretty sure you've seen the last one,
okay.
And I want some intrigue.
All right.
So I'm going to say a little movie about a doctor on the run called The Fugitive.
Oh, yeah, I saw that the other day, as a matter of fact. Doesn't hold up very well. Lee Jones is good, as of course. But
you like Harrison Ford garbage.
It's not so much Harrison Ford. He's just kind of there almost. He does a serviceable job. Serviceable and workmanlike, but it's his name's not Armand Asante, but that guy.
You mean the bad guy?
Yes, the guy who turns out to be the bad guy. You think it's his friend at first, but he turns out to actually have been the guy who betrayed him.
Yeah, that is John Huston's son, Danny Huston.
What?
Angelica Huston's brother.
What?
I'm pretty sure, right?
That guy has never been named Danny a day in his life. Are you sure? Do you do live lookups in this show?
Oh, no. I know. You're talking about the bad guy who actually... There are two bad guys in The Fugitive.
Yeah, what bad guy are you talking about? I can only think of the one.
Dr. Charles Nichols is a main antagonist in The Fugitive.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Think him.
Who what the fuck? Him? I'm way off. Jeroen Krabbe.
Okay, that guy looks much more like that than a Danny Houston.
Also, he played the Bond villain. He played a Bond villain, Georgi Koskov. Oh. How did I think that was Danny Houston?
I don't know.
They kind of look alike.
Are you sure?
Well, I'm looking it up now. Danny
yeah,
Houston.
Yeah, that's who I'm thinking of. Jeroen Krabbe.
Yeah, yeah. I was so wrong.
Is Danny Houston even in The Fugitive?
I don't think so. But look him up. I mean, he's...
It looks like Julianne Moore was in there, and I don't remember her being in it. But that reminds me that I saw... Oh, look, they have a pronunciation of the guy's name under his trivia.
Oh, really?
Jeroen Krabbe. Wow, we were way off. This brings me back to stuff you should know. But Julianne
Moore...
What,
being really wrong?
She was in Children of Men, and I watched that the other day. That is one of the best movies ever made from start to finish. There is not a moment in there that's superfluous or boring or drags. It's just a superbly done movie.
Master filmmaker.
Who is it?
Wasn't that Denis Villeneuve?
Oh, well, that would explain a lot if it were.
I think so.
Okay.
All right, dude, this is it.
So that was the one you weren't sure of. This is the one you are sure I've seen.
No. The Fugitive, I was pretty sure you had seen.
Oh, okay. Oh, man.
I flip-flopped them to bring intrigue so that you can equalize or you can
that
you
explains
can be
the intrigue comment. Okay, it makes more sense now.
All right, quit messing with that scarf.
It's going to fall off. Okay, go ahead.
And then what'll happen?
And then your audio is going to bleed out into this microphone, and then you'll be sorry.
All right, here we go. Last one. Mm-hmm. A movie starring Jack Nicholson.
Okay.
Featuring... Talk Soup guy. What was his name? Craig Kinnear.
As good as it gets. Yes, I've seen it. I've seen it, Chuck.
Right.
I've seen it. I saw it. I saw As Good As It Gets. I saw it, everybody.
I told you, it usually comes down to the wire.
Oh, my God. This was tense. This is like Uncut Gems, but for me. And I haven't even seen Uncut Gems.
Oh, man, that was great. I'm glad you equalized. That's fantastic.
That was a great movie. There was a great dog in there, a Brussels Griffin. I don't remember the dog's name, but do you remember the dog with the little beard?
Yeah, I mean, sort of Momo-esque, right?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. Not entirely, but definitely in the same wheelhouse as Mo, although there's only one Mo.
Yeah, there's only one Mo. All right, we're going to, this is supersized, and I appreciate your time, but we do want to finish up with a little segment called Stream This. Where you talk about what you've been watching during the lockdown. So recommend some stuff and tell everyone what's shitty.
I have seen a couple good things. Have you seen Horse Girl? Movie starring Alison Brie?
Oh, no. I saw a different thing, but it wasn't a movie.
You're thinking of Zoo.
Right.
This is different. No, this is a really great movie that Alison Brie co-wrote.
And I like her.
It is out there, man. Out there, like the level of imagination and intelligence, but also like humility. Like she plays a very kind of fractured woman in this movie. It's not hard to watch. It's not hard to get into. It's not hard to get. It's just a wonderful movie where you could tell like somebody went to her and said like, hey. You know, you've made it. What's the movie you want to do? And, you know, so frequently people will do a movie that means a lot to them, but, you know, it doesn't mean a lot to everybody else. This one was maybe the best of that variety I've ever seen.
Wow. That's great. Yeah. I think she's awesome.
Yeah, she does great in it.
All right. I just wrote that down. What's that streaming on? Is it new or
I'm pretty sure it's on Netflix. It's from 2020. I think it came out at the very beginning of 2020. That's a good one. Is it my turn again or your turn? Are you just asking me?
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked on Stuff You Should Know. I'll mention it here real quick, though. Hodgman was on, and he said that he was in a show called Red Oaks. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't heard of it, but it's an Amazon Prime show, mm-hmm. kind of Caddyshack-esque, about a kid in the 80s that works at a tennis club.
Right.
A golf and tennis country club. So Emily and I have been binging through that, and they're 30 minutes, and it's really just very easy to watch. Fun and funny, well-acted, great, great 80s soundtrack.
That's wonderful.
And I've been digging it. Did you ever see that?
See Red Oaks?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. How's Hodgman doing it?
Well, he hasn't appeared yet. I'm through the first like 5 or 6 of season 1.
Okay.
And he has not appeared, so I'm not sure when he pops up.
It'll be delightful when he does.
It's always a little shocking, too.
Have you seen Coraline?
I never saw Coraline.
Oh, dude, you got to see it. He is like one of the main characters. He does the voice of the dad, and it's a great movie in and of itself, but it's not hard to watch because you're like, holy cow, it's Hodgman and he's killing it. But every once in a while that does happen. It doesn't like suck you out of the narrative or anything like that, but it's a really good movie. It's a very enjoyable movie. I think written by Neil Gaiman or based on a Neil Gaiman book or short story or something like that, but it's animated and, Hodgman really, really knocks it out of the park.
Well, we are in a great position because we know a very small handful of like genuinely semi-famous TV and film actors. Right? Like it's just enough to where it's like, oh, cool, they're in that.
Right.
But I imagine if you know a lot of people, it might be hard to watch movies sometimes.
Yeah, I think you kind of lose a little something. You lose that suspension of disbelief from it, you know?
I think so.
Being like, oh, that's my friend and he owes me $50. That SOB. Right.
You're still fucking with that scarf.
It's coming apart. I got it now. I'm done.
All right. What else you want to recommend?
Let's see. You know, I'm super into riff tracks. That's always been a very comforting thing, especially like if you need some distraction or escapism.
Uh-huh.
It's wonderful because the movies they do, riff tracks is like the guys from the second iteration of MST3K doing mm-hmm. their own thing. So the movies themselves are escapist, but then the jokes that they're laying on top of the movies is doubly escapist. But the one I can watch this over and over again, it's the Riff Tracks version of City of the Dead, which is a Christopher Lee movie. When he was a kid, basically. He was a young Christopher Lee, and it's untoward.
Was he ever young?
It's weird. Like, he's still an old man, but he's a young old man. And this is the most disturbing part of the whole movie, that Christopher Lee is in his sexual prime. So you can imagine him like trying to like go score at a singles bar or something like that. That is not how you ever want to think of Christopher Lee. So that automatically out of the gate makes it even more unsettling. So that's one I've been watching. I can watch that again and again. Let's see. I rewatched The Ninth Gate, which is a wonderful movie.
I never saw that.
It's a Johnny Depp movie. I think Polanski directed
it.
And it's one of those movies where you can watch it anytime. Like if it ever came on TNT, you know, TNT mm-hmm. used to like show something for a month straight or two months straight. Like that's the kind of movie you could just watch anytime it came on. It's just like that. And it goes all over the world. But somehow it's like we learned a Agatha Christie novel is like a cozy mystery.
Yeah.
It has that element to it somehow, even though it's all over the place and Satan's involved and all that. But it's a really
cozy Satanism.
Cozy satanic horror movie. But it's good. Johnny Depp just kills it. He's doing some good stuff. Which, by the way, you should check out. This is not fiction, actually. There's a YouTube guy who does something called Incredibly Average, and he's like deconstructing the Johnny Depp Amber Heard battle. To say like who's actually telling the truth and whose lawyers are doing what. And this guy's doing this incredibly comprehensive, like journalistic quality investigation into it. And he's just some guy as far as anybody knows.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's really something to watch kind of unfold.
So you've been watching that too?
Yeah, a little bit. That's more Yumi's jam, but she fills me in on it every time.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And let's see what else. Stranger Than Fiction. Rewatch that.
Great movie.
It is a really good movie. I was a little worried it wasn't going to hold up, but it definitely did. Tremors, rewatched that.
Amazing.
I saw Who Killed the Electric Car for the first time last night. Have you ever seen it?
I haven't. No, I never saw that.
It's a legendary documentary, but it's also from 2006. So it's really quaint to see everybody up in arms about the idea that the automobile right. industry and the fossil fuel industry got together and killed the electric car. It's like, no shit, you know? Like, this is, it's just so, such an afterthought these days that, like, that's the kind of stuff that goes on. And at the time, they're, like, really up in a froth about this. And they're talking about how global warming and climate change could become a problem in the future. And it's just...
2006.
And it really reminds you of how much things have changed in the last 14 years, even in the last 10 years, you know? Like, it's 2020. 2010 was 10 years ago, and it was a different world in 2010.
Yeah.
So in one sense, it was kind of like going to grandma's house, you know, and getting like milk and cookies made for you, like that level of quaintness. But at the same time, it was depressing because it just pointed out how shitty everything's gotten in the interim.
So uplift or quaint and then depressing.
Yeah, at the same time, not even one after the other. It's simultaneous. So you just sit there until you get a stomach ache and the movie is over.
So it doesn't lift you up and carry it with you like a... Master and Commander?
No, I wouldn't say that for their movie poster, even if they asked me.
All right, dude. Well, this was a lot of fun.
This was a tremendous amount of fun, Chuck. And again, from start to finish, a real honor. Thank you very much for having me. Like, I really mean it. This is nice.
Of course.
I hope I did you proud.
Yeah, man. And these movie crushes have been a lot of fun because I'm getting to Skype in with people that, I mean, it's become like a social thing here during quarantine. Mm-hmm. So, we'll have to do this again. When I went up to make my second drink, I told Emily, I was like, I wonder if like you, me, and Josh and you and me should all do a mini crush.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
She was like, that would be awesome. And I said, and everybody would flip if we did that.
Yeah, I will sign you me up right now.
All right, we'll pitch that to her. That could be a lot of fun.
I will.
Do you have two microphones?
Well, we're pretty close, so we could sit next to one another. Or I can get another mic. But we could share a mic. You know, we kiss sometimes.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Even during quarantine?
Maybe we'll kiss on Skype for you.
Oh, wow. That's pretty sexy. So thanks, everyone, for listening. I know this is going to be a big hit with everybody. And thanks again, my friend. And we will talk to everybody in your ear holes next Monday.
Thanks, dude.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.